Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Culture Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Culture Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Well, Dick Newman's not in the studio this morning. Dick's up in St. Cloud with the Minnesota Amateur Baseball Hall of Fame banquet today. Dick's on that committee, so we'll have Dick back in the studio for the coaches' show next week. So we're going to go through some quick scores here from last night in football. Game you heard right here on Q92 last night. Dawson Boyd, they fell to... Springfield 34-7. Let's see. Oh, I got the wrong sheet up here. Just a minute. I'll get it. That's why you should always come prepared, Tony. Here
yeah,
we go.
You're just fine.
Well, you know the score of your game.
20-6.
McCray down Lacapral Valley. Mineota played an afternoon game because of referee issues, right, Tony?
Which actually kind of affected our game a little bit.
Oh.
Because three of those officials from our game were in Lakeview that afternoon, and there was actually two of the other ones were in Wilmer earlier in the day.
Oh, so it wasn't a complete team that just moved.
Well, no, yeah, it was bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah, probably going to see more of that if we don't get some more referees. That's for sure. Mineota down Lakeview 53-0. Canby. Beat Yellow Medicine East 29-7, and Springfield, as I mentioned, beat Dawson Boyd 34-7, and Painesville beat Bold 44-39, Benson lost to Maple Lake 38-14, just to name a few other scores there. Tracy Milroy Ballatin 42, Sleepy Eye United 26, and that brings us to Lacapral Valley's game on the road last night in McCray. They got that artificial turf new. Or was that last year new?
Last year was their first year.
Was that first time you've played on it then?
We actually played there last year as well. So
you did?
Yeah, beautiful facility. Okay. Nice added area that they have there. So we knew going into the game that it was not going to be a muddy mess on the field like it would have been if we played that game at Lacapral.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of... Did it rain off and on?
You know, we really did not get any sort of rain. There was a few sprinkles, maybe mid-third quarter, end of third quarter, but that was really about it. When we started, the sun was out, and it was a nice evening.
Oh, okay.
Mosquitoes, of course.
Oh, was there?
Oh, yeah. They found their way.
Well, I haven't had problems with mosquitoes in the press boxes yet, so...
Well, we found them the last couple of weeks on the practice field and then on game nights.
Okay. Yeah, in Springfield before the game, it rained pretty good during warm-ups between Springfield and Dawson Boyd, and it quit and became a really nice evening, so...
Yeah, what a beautiful facility they have.
Yep.
Springfield, wow.
Yeah, baseball-football combo there.
Yeah.
Beautiful baseball stands and everything.
The grandstands are huge.
Oh, yeah,
it's a beautiful baseball park.
All right. How'd the Eagles play last night then?
Well, we started off, we took the opening kickoff, and I believe we were 3-and-out. Maybe we got in a first down, punted to them, and they ended up punting it back to us. Oh, I believe, nope, I'm sorry, I stand corrected. We actually, Gavin Morton's had an interception. And we were able to take the ball down the field and score. Adrian Specht from 3 yards out. He was filling in for Gabe Lowry, who was out with a little bit of a hamstring injury there early. And so we were up on the board first, 6-0, 2-point conversion failed. And then it just kind of was back and forth. They ended up scoring on a long, long pass midway through the second quarter. So then the score was 8-6, and it was 8-6 at half. Came out, we talked about halftime. Hey, we got to kick off. This is going to be big. This is going to, you know, this is going to set the tone for the second half. And unfortunately, they were able to return it to about our 25. And then that really kind of set us back a little bit. They were able to score to make it 14-6. And I believe right at the end of the third quarter, they put another one in to make it 20-6. And that was what the final score was. I was watching the film back last night, and it's one of those things where we had opportunities. I believe we were inside of their 24 times and weren't able to come. Yeah, we were in the red zone and weren't able to score. And so that's frustrating, and I feel like, and I told the guys after this, I said, you know, we had those opportunities early, and I think it would have been a different tone. You know, they had the kickoff return, the big long pass, and then they had another big play. Those were really kind of their all they had offensively going on. For us, we had some opportunities, and I told them after the game, like I said, I didn't feel like maybe I gave our team the best opportunity when we got inside the 20. We did a nice job outside of those areas, but we just weren't able to capitalize. We ran 55 or 60 offensive plays, and they only ran 40.
Oh.
We actually had more yardage than they did.
Wow. Okay.
It was even in that respect, even on the first downs. What the turning point was, unfortunately, and has been kind of our mantra, has been the turnovers. We got the one interception by Gavin Mortensen, but we put the ball on the floor three times and didn't get any of them back. So that's been a killer. But, you know, we said watching film, we had some opportunities and we just did not cash in when we had the chance.
Yeah, turnovers, and then they go and score. That hurts when you have a turnover, and then they turn that into points afterwards.
Actually, of the three, there was only one of them that they scored on. So, I mean, the defense did a nice job. Yeah. They've got a very athletic quarterback. They've done something a little uncharacteristic for them. They lined up with two tight ends and three guys in the backfield and tried to run it at us, and for the most part, we did a nice job with them. They were able to get a yard, 2 yards here or there, but then they were able to break a longer one there late in the third. So, stat-wise, Jackson Fernolds, he was 6 of 16 for 45 yards. Jax Wells was 1 for 1 for 28 yards, and Nolan Smith was 0 for 1. Receiving, Nolan had 5 receptions for 53 yards, and Tucker Lyons had 1 reception for 11, and we had Jax Wells 1 for 9. Rushing the ball, Gabe Lowry, 10 attempts for 52 yards. Adrian Specht, 8 attempts for 33 yards. Gavin Mortensen, 5 for 30. Jackson Fernolds, 3 for 20. On our touchdown drive, you know, we're running the option, and we ran the play, and he gave it, and he said, I want to come back to that play. And so we came right back to it on the very next play, and this time he kept it, got around the corner for a 22-yard run.
Oh, wow, nice.
So, you know, he's learning on that end of it, and you know, you go and practice, and the guys are coming upfield or they're doing their thing, only you get to Friday nights, all of a sudden things look a little different. You think you're going to see what this on offense or defense and how they're going to play it,
right,
but then they might play it a little differently. So, you know, you try to prepare them the best you can, and, you know, he made a great read on that one.
Good.
Defensively, Jax Wells had 5 tackles, 1 assist. Kaysen Heineke had 3 tackles, 2 assists. Matt Sherman had 3 tackles, assists, and a tackle for loss. Gavin Mortensen had 3 tackles, 3 assists, and like I said, that interception. Nolan Smith had 3 tackles and 3 assists. Elias Alonso had 3 tackles and a tackle for loss. Evan Schliemann, who's starting to get himself more and more playing time just with his what he's been showing us. Evan Schliemann had 2 tackles, 2 assists. Douglas Bruner had 2 tackles and a tackle for loss. Adrian Speck had 2 tackles and 2 assists. Talon Kranz, 2 tackles, 2 assists. Scott Asfeld had a tackle and an assist. Tanner Tilbury had a tackle, which was a sack of for 10-yard loss.
Nice.
And then Tucker Lyons had a tackle. And special teams-wise, Jax Wells had a punt return for 17 yards, and Gavin Mortensen had one for 10 punting. Jax Wells, two punts for an average of 32 yards, so that was good. So, you know, that kind of rounds out the stats for us for the day.
Okay.
But, you know, we like we said to start with, we had some opportunities early, and we really controlled the clock in the first half, and just weren't able to come away with anything there when we had those opportunities.
Right. Well, I know you've been hit with the injury bug early in the season here. How's that going? Are you going to get any of the guys back for the year?
Well, right now,
did you come away injury free last night?
Gabe had a little bit of a hamstring; was kind of hobbling around there for a little bit, so he had to take a few plays off, but got him back in. Jace DeLean, we're still waiting on. He not only is a little bit injured, but this week then he came down with the flu.
Oh no!
So we're waiting on him a little bit. And as far as Gavin Meyer and Grant Bierke, and then Brant Schomer, you know, their season's over.
Yep.
But I'll give those guys a ton of credit. They're there at practice every day.
Oh, wow.
The other day, I think it was Gavin Myers and Bierke peeked into the coach's office and said, "Hey, if it's going to rain, do we really have to go out there? Because we can't move real quick to get ourselves back in." I just kind of chuckled and said, "You know what? You need to figure out what works best for you." So they were out for a little bit, and as soon as it started to get a little dark to the west, they started to move themselves back inside.
Well, any more in the game that wrapped up with McCray?
We had those opportunities, and we just didn't cash in. And afterwards, it's for us the margin for error. We just got to be as fundamentally sound on play in and play out as we can be, and we'll keep plugging away at that, and the guys know it, and they understand that part of it, and we'll keep coaching them, and when that turns out, the kids will be excited.
All right, well, homecoming week coming up here, coach's nightmare. Kind of keep the team grounded, and what do you got coming up here?
Yeah, there's lots of things going on this week. JV plays at home on Monday against McCray. Junior high plays on Tuesday. But you know, you're right. It's a little hectic. It's a little crazy, and
if different routine, I'm guessing.
Different routine, but I also want them to experience all those things of the high school, of the homecoming. And you know, you get to Thursday, you get to Friday. Hey, let's figure out what we need to do to be successful for the game. But I want them to have those experiences too, and enjoy being with their classmates.
Right. And you got, what do you got? Murray County Central coming.
We have Murray County Central coming. You know, they played Dawson first game of the year, and just been kind of following them as they're going along here. I believe right now they're currently 2-2. Mm-hmm. They were affected by some injury early in the year, too, from what I understand. So we'll see how that all shakes out here when I get their film today.
Okay. All right. JV, dude, you got that off the top of your head? How did they do last week?
Yeah, JV went down to Dawson, and I don't believe came out with the win. I think the score ended up being the 30-7, I think, was the final score. But, yeah, they went down there and played, and we're planning to get as many as we can together with our banged up squad. And you know, you take a look on a Friday night, and we've talked about this, Eric, for a couple of weeks, those guys are getting a chance to play on Friday nights too.
Yep.
So hopefully they get in there and they let it slow down a little bit, and then they're able to find their way.
Good experience too.
Great experience.
All right, Tony, well, thanks for coming in. Have fun during homecoming week, and good luck against Murray County Central next Friday.
You bet. Thank you.
Tony Smith, head football coach at La Caprile Valley. We'll take a commercial break. Come back with more of the Coach Show after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Transition into fall with sizzling savings this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. Kip has frozen ribeye, New York strip steaks, and pork chops, 25% off. Perfect for late summer grilling or cozy fall dinners. The nights may be cooler, but the grill is still calling. Stock up and enjoy the best of both seasons. That's the Country Butcher, located on Main Street, Dawson. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturday, 9 to 1, and closed Sunday and Monday.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Canby Drug and Gifts, a store full of treasures, boasts full lines of cards, candy, gifts, home decor, wall art, and creative floral arrangements by Christine. They also have Canby Lancer apparel, and they are a full-service pharmacy. Their friendly staff will help you find just the right gift or provide creative ideas for decorating your home. They're open 8:30 to 5:30 Monday through Fridays and Saturday 9 to 2. Check out their website at canbydrug.com or Canby Drug Gifts Facebook page.
Canby Drug and Gifts, a store full of treasures.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk cross country with head coach John Sherb. John's in the studio. Tony and John are faithfully every Saturday come in the studio. We appreciate that, John.
Well, when you get old, you want to get out of the house somehow, so that's the idea. So trying to get up and out of the house and move around on a Saturday morning. No, it's good. It's a lot easier doing it that way if you can.
Yep. I didn't bring rolls or anything. Dick usually brings a couple rolls for us, but I don't do that. So
That's okay. I can maybe miss one without a problem, okay. So we'll call it good.
All right. Well, let's talk cross country. How'd you guys do this week?
We had the one race over at Millbank last Saturday. They're wet over there, and that was the concern over there. So they had to change their course a lot and move some things around. So, you know, that was kind of the interesting part of the course. Plus, also, we gained two big schools came over there. Grand Forks Central and also Red River came because they were supposed to go to Brookings, but Brookings had their meet canceled because they're wet down there, had issues. So they asked Millbank, they come in, and they're tough. And that's another level up. That's, you know, the bigger school, whatever
what
else.
What team was that?
Grand Forks Central and then Red River. And they're both very, very dominant programs and tough. And they got a lot of kids and talented. But, it was fun seeing new teams and going at it. And that was kind of the fun thing and competing. Also compete in the morning. Some of our kids are not morning personnel. Getting the bus looked like someone could probably just bite your head off just for even breathing or looking at you. And you could tell everything. Some of the kids really didn't bother them at all. So, again, that's the kind of interesting part is see how they can handle it. And like I said, I thought the kids were there. Just, again, some just don't like the morning part and too early to move and whatever else. So, but it was still good.
You've been going over to Millbank on that Saturday for many, many years, haven't you?
Yep, before I even took over the program.
Before
they've been
you?
Yeah, before me. Phil also took them over there, too. And so, and I don't know about the late 80s. I know the early 90s they were there. So we've been there all the time. Nice. It's a good, fun meet to go over there and just to kind of different course, scoring four only instead of scoring five. So that's kind of nice. And you see a lot of very talented small schools over there that all you need is four kids, and they put together four very good kids. They may only have 12 kids on the program, but they put together some nice programs.
What's the course like? It's right on the golf course, right?
Yeah, it's on the golf course there. Traditionally, you know, years past, I know you've been over there and see it, we always finished on the south side of the clubhouse down that low valley. They moved it to the other side because that was saturated where we always have our campsites and plus a start line. Oh. So they moved on the other side, north side of the clubhouse. But everything else is pretty much the same. They just had to tweak the start piece, and some like it, some handle it well, some don't. So, like I said, it was good.
With all the rain that we've had in the area, I'm sure the ground is soft in some areas.
It was standing water in some spots where they had to go around. And also, I know some of the kids, when they got, well, I know my feet were soaked when I got done.
Wow.
Just because the dew in the morning, plus also the wet ground, you're trying to dance through some of the waterways a little bit there. So it's kind of interesting that way. But, you know, again, that's part of cross country. You go what you get, and some days you get gorgeous weather, some days you don't, and you take what you get.
Okay. All right. Well, how'd the team do?
I thought we ran well in some spots. I thought we struggled in some spots. I thought some of the kids maybe, like I said, that morning personnel, I think, was some issues there, too, I think, in some of them. Again, going to Friday night, football game Friday night, getting wound up and not getting a bit. So I thought some kids looked a little tired, but again, you still got to compete, and you know I don't have time for excuses. You still put it on the course and see what you got in the gas tank and go. And junior high kids, they ran a 3K course over there. Cambria Larson had a really nice race over there. That's probably one of the better finishes for her. She looked very sound throughout the race. She was 20th at 15:39. Then we had Skylar Stock right behind her at 21st at 15:40. Then we had Emerson Erdman at 29th at 16:38. Chelsea Clark at 23rd at 15:47. Ainsley Grunholtz was 27th at 16:16. And Cora Nelson was 44th at 21:33. And they scored. Again, we score well. Our biggest thing, we've got a really nice pack there. That pack has got to start moving up a little bit more. And that's kind of where you're going to that next level. And that's the question is, are those girls going to be ready to make that step here this year, next year, maybe never? Who knows? I mean, that's the next thing we've got to do, is we're going to move up to the next level. But like I said, I thought, again, majority of them looked very good. Again, like I said, just some of them just didn't get their legs back when they're, like I said, 9:30 in the morning. Some of them, I think, are still used to sleeping at 9:30 in the morning. And so,
how many teams are there, did you say?
I want to say it was, right off the top of my head, 14 teams.
Oh, wow.
So we've, and that's the other thing. If you look at pretty much all of our meets this year have been pretty good-sized meets. And so, again, it's good to see that, and that's the way it is. But, like I said, that many schools, and some aren't full because of they don't have enough kids out.
Right.
So the boys, junior high, they ran the same thing as the girls. Uriah Speck was 16th at 14 flat. Landon Sculler was 40th at 17:44. Then you got like the way the boys have just with only two, but those two boys have grown a lot throughout the year, and they've made some really, really nice strides. And just again, the confidence is the biggest thing. Is if you looked at, especially, as Landon is a seventh grader coming in, the confidence wasn't there the first couple of meets. Now you're seeing him be a little more aggressive. And same thing, Uriah was kind of a laid back person. Now you're starting to see him get a little bit more aggressive early, and that's helping a lot. And that's part of the understand the seasoning part. 4K they ran for the JV race. We got a couple seniors in that JV that work really hard and they go with it. Alyssa Sawinski was our top runner. She was 14th at 20:19. Morgan Anderson was 17th at 20:42. Shea Bothan was 24th at 21:11. Quinn Larson was 48th at 23:17. That is the first race for Quinn for the year. She's had some foot issues that we've been trying to get through. She maybe could have ran Spicer the Thursday before and thought, well, let's give her a chance where she can run at Milbank. And then I was talking with her mom a little bit, and also I found out she's never finished a Milbank course. So it's like going, okay, now we got the omen of the morning and how that's going to go. Quinn finished it, ran really well. I thought she looked very comfortable. So it's a good mark to have her kind of break that stigmatism of not finishing that course, but also looking halfway decent. I mean, that's the fun thing is, she was happy to be finished, and she felt good. JV boys, again, we got three JV boys. Colden Heineke, finally we got him healthy. I know he's been nicked up. He's had some knee issues that is coming back from his other sport he's involved in, and he caught a little hole warming up at Spicer, so he jammed his knee a little bit, so he didn't run Spicer. So I said, well, see if we can get together. We kind of told him that any hole you see, you stay without 10 feet away from it, so you don't fall into it and hurt yourself anymore. And so he looked very good. He actually had way too much left in the gas tank. He looked very aggressive. He wasn't aggressive early. I think he was more conservative because, it's been a while since he's raced with his injuries. And also when he ran up in Benson, he went out too hard and paid for it in the end and really hit the wall at the end. So he was patient early, but then came back just like a ball of fire and looked really good. But he ended up finishing 17th at 16:52. Then we had Eddie Felton at 37th at 18:04, and then Aaron Wills 38th at 18:06. And the nice thing was these three, they're all ninth graders. So, again, keep seasoning, keep getting them to grow a little bit more. That will be the good thing, and that's what we're kind of looking at, hopefully building on as we go. Varsity girls, like I said, with adding Red River in and Grand Forks Central, they're very, very deep. And plus, also, there's some very deep individual team there, too. So, was not going to be a slouch of a race, but again, just nice to see some ones and go. Bryn Glager was our top runner. She's been fighting that asthma, and hopefully this weather will start getting down the heat down a little bit and get this humidity up. she will get back to where she expects, where I think she will be. It's just getting there. But she finished 14th at 21-17. Looked very comfortable. Again, she's got that inhaler, trying to figure out how to balance that a little bit, and I think she balanced it a little bit better. It still was sticky over there on Saturday. Chloe Glegge was 29th at 22-34. Laura Schrar was 30th at 22-35. Again, you know, and then Sadie Rosenau was 35th at 23-15. So there's our front four, and our front four looked very good. Again, they're still, we've got to get that gap even tighter yet, especially that gap from four to one has got to be tighter and to be able to score better. But we scored very well. And then Harper Grunholz was 56th at 24-20, and Micaiah Puso was 68th at 26-14. You know, when we start getting back to scoring five, we've got to find our fifth gal. And again, not trying to put any pressure on, but just, again, they have it in them. It's just the question is, can we get them out of it? And that's always good. They're all good kids, and they work really, really hard. And again, it's not, you know, again, Harper is our fifth gal this time. Again, it's someone else can probably be our fifth gal. You just don't know. It's just whoever's in that fifth spot has got, again, we've got to close that gap. And that's, if we're going to push in that upper level, we've got to change that. And that's, again, but that's part of growing and having confidence in yourself. Scoring wise, Red River won it with 34, but actually tied with 34 with Breckenridge. Breckenridge has got another one's got a very good team there. They tied at 34. Flandre at 39. Millbank at 69. Grand Forks Central at 88. We were at 96. And Legacy was 114. Madison 130. GPL 132. Monty 142. And Sisseton 192. So, like I said, I just, you know, again, the kids keep growing and handling. And again, like I said, also trying to balance, you know, high school life. And that's their thing, too, because you don't want to, you don't want to shaft them too much, and you know, still enjoy it, but they still got to compete with what they're doing. And that's, it's always tough when you're trying to balance two or three or four things through a high school day for the kids. Varsity boys ran the same course there, 5K there. We got Tanner back. We held Tanner out at Spicer just because, again, he had that knee jar that we were trying to avoid that little bit that he had earlier in the practice. So we held him out, and he ran there. Looked very good. Got a little tight at the end, about 2.5 miles. He had a little uneven landing, so it started to flare a little bit in the knee. But he got through it and finished very well. Colin Rosendahl had our young ninth grader, really came home strong. Great finish, looked comfortable, had a little turnover going in. He finished 11th at 18.07. Tanner was right behind him at 18.13, finished 12th. Landon Keeman was 37th at 19.30. Matthew Bothan was 56th at 20.23. And Kentaro Sorauer was 58th at 20.36. We were missing Brody. Brody had his basic training or National Guard physical down Sioux Falls, so unfortunately, you know, he would have made our boys team even more solid have that. Scoring wise, we end up finishing sixth also, like the girls did. Red River won it with 41. Grand Fork Central was 46. Millbank 59. Madison 106. Then we tied Madison 106, but then we lost on a tiebreaker in our fifth score, unfortunately, there. But again, it's boys are going to, we're not overly deep yet. Hopefully that will change here in another 2 weeks once we get some of these other ninth graders to move up a little bit. Plus also we've got to get, this pack. Without Brody, we're a little bit lean, but we still have got to get, like I said, the girls have got to get that five. All the boys, we've got to get that 4, 5, and six. Our six has got to push our five, and that's what we've got to start working on. And that's, they've got to start doing it. It's up to them. There's only so much that Conover and myself can do. It's going to be up to them to decide, can they, are they willing to move that next level?
Okay. All right, that was Millbank, and then later in the week you had a tough decision to make, John, on Thursday.
On Tuesday, yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday, yeah. You know, the weather did not help things at all. I know Kester came out and helped me on Sunday, then Kester and then also Conover. We did a lot of work on Monday night before the mosquitoes carried us off the golf course and setting up everything else. And Zach did a lot of work and everything else. We had scenarios out there. We saw, you know, about a week ago, we saw the weather, how it was going to get icky and it wasn't going to be a good deal. And that with that heat and humidity is just not good. And so I basically told Zach on Monday, I said, here's our three scenarios we've got for options. One, cancel the meet. Second one is we try an hour later, start everything an hour later and try to squeeze everything a little tighter with our races. Or the other one, we make it just a varsity race, varsity girls at 6, varsity boys 6:45. Have every team run 9 and just do it that way. And so I thought those were probably best options because I've been watching the kind of temperature drop, and there was some, you know, at 4 o'clock, it was about 90 degrees, 89 degrees, and then it was looked like in about an hour and a half it was going to drop about 5 to 7 degrees. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we're looking at. But the other problem is we don't realize the humidity. And that humidity factor, and it does make things tougher.
Dew point, yeah.
Yep, that's that dew point, the whole thing. And
the Minnesota High School League actually has a threshold that you have to follow, right?
Right, and that's what you're most fun. And Zach did a really good job. I know Zach felt bad about it. I said, but you made the right call. We have to make a call on what's best for the kids. Yes, we want to compete, but we also still got to look at kids' health and safety because you got to live another day. You can't have something where you run a kid in this and then next thing, no, they've got health issues when they're 25, 30 years old or the rest of their life. Yeah. So we got to balance it. So Zach did a lot of checking, did some phone calling, checking with some, talked to some other ADs and broke it down. And basically looked and he got a hold of me. He goes, I'm sorry to tell you. I said, we can't. I said, I knew it was coming. It says, yeah, as a coach, when you've been around a lot and you kind of see things, weather wasn't dry, heat wasn't dropping as fast. I knew it's going to happen. So yeah. We didn't have it.
And you consulted other ADs and other coaches too, didn't you?
Yep. We did a lot of talking. I talked with Redwood a little bit. He was asking what my feeling is. I said, if we get, we're going to get two races in just because of that temperature. And like I said, that's just that whole scenario. But I know, I think it was Melrose was having to meet also. But they were 10 degrees cooler up north. Okay. So they were able to get ours, and then we weren't just because, again, where you're in that pocket. So unfortunately, we did not get our big meet because there was 14 teams coming. So that was going to be another solid meet and for us to see the South.
But a good practice for the section meet coming up.
Yep, and that's the reliever and find out where you're at. So unfortunately, it is what it is, and you can't do anything about it. You move on, and you live for the next day.
All right, what's coming up here for the cross-country team?
Wyoming, we go on Monday, which is kind of a strange scenario. Wyoming is usually traditionally on a Thursday, so they moved to Monday. So we raced there Monday at 4:30. I saw a new form out. They're going to run, actually separate the junior highs. Years past, they just ran all junior highs together. Now they're going to separate them.
Okay.
So we're going to have four races over there on Monday. Then the big one on the weekend. Saturday, we run up at Grand Forks, the border battle. And that'll be the fun one. We'll go up there. We'll go up there Friday night up to Fargo, go out for supper, then basically at a hotel and just kind of relax and just kind of work amongst the team. It's kind of that team bonding of just working together and understanding each other. And then go up to Grand Forks, and we run up there. First race up there is a junior high race at 11 o'clock up there. And it's a lot of races, a lot of teams. You know, you see the Red River and Grand Forks we saw at Milbank. You're going to see even better teams out there from North Dakota and also northern Minnesota. We're going to see some good ones out of there. We're also going to see South Dakota. I mean, we're going to see a lot of teams up there in the level. So it's kind of our mini Malacca. You still love Malacca just because of that. But again,
I don't do that anymore.
Nope, that got shut down, so we went that way. And you'd always rather be at Malacca, but I'm glad we're able to try something, you know, do this now. We've been doing it since they started it, so it's kind of fun to go up there.
All right. Well, I see you got your North Dakota State Bison apparel on and a cap. Were you going up to Fargo today?
I'd love to. Again, when you're an alum of an old time, a long time ago, back in the dark ages when you graduated from there, you kind of still represent the school a little bit.
That's right. I do, too. I put NDSU stuff on once in a while, too. So, all right. Thanks, John, for coming in, and good luck Monday.
Yeah, Monday in
Granite. Okay. We'll talk about that next Saturday. John Sherb on Cross Country. Coach Dr. Brad Hacker's in the studio. We're going to talk tennis right after this.
Come on over to Camby for Fall Fest, Saturday, September 20th. All events are downtown Camby unless specified. And listen for live broadcast right here on Q92. Car show from 9 to 2, Camby for Kids activities. From 10 to 11, with a car and bike show, yard games, and bike giveaway. Don't forget, there'll be a food booth sponsored by St. Peter's from 11 to 1 and by Hero Sports Bar and Grill at 6. A lot of activities happening during Fall Fest in Camby, Saturday, September 20th. And don't forget, live music by Highway Call Band, 11 to 2. Camby's Fall Fest, sponsored by the Camby Chamber of Commerce.
Farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. At Haugen Insurance Agency, we understand the unique challenges you face every day. With our many years of experience, we are able to assess your needs and match the right coverage with your operation, whether you're a small family farm or a large operation. Our dedicated team is here for you, providing support and expertise every step of the way. Protect your crops and your livelihood with confidence. Visit us on the web at haugencropins.com to learn more. Haugen Insurance Agency, a farmer's helping hand.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Dr. Brant Hacker's in the studio to talk tennis, girls tennis, and good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You came, you perfect timing. Sherb leaves and you come in.
That's how we like to do it, right? Slot right in there, man. Be ready.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in the studio. Appreciate
yeah, for
it.
Sure. Absolutely.
We
good
got
to be
a
here.
A lot of stuff to talk about on the girls' tennis. You
yeah.
guys are busy this week.
Well, we had a busy schedule. We had three matches scheduled, but we ended up with two. Weather's been a problem like it's been for everybody. So we did get a match in, a home match against Milbank on Monday. We ended up picking up a 4-3 win there. Milbank's a South Dakota school. They play by some different rules, but when they come to Minnesota, they play Minnesota rules.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. They
so
only,
if you go there.
Yeah.
You play
they, so JV went there, oh. and they played South Dakota rules over there.
So what's that? Do you know?
So that's a six-person team, and all six players play both singles and doubles.
Oh.
So you can have a varsity team with fewer than 10. Like Minnesota, it requires 10 to put a team together.
Oh.
South Dakota, you can do it with 6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
you can play singles in South Dakota and doubles?
Yeah, you have. Well, you could sub somebody in. But, yes, they have 6 singles matches, and then they have 3 doubles matches. So you can put a full team together with 6 gals and go at it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, it's the same rules they play in college, though, too. That's how college rolls in the United States.
I think in basketball they still do quarters over there, and we do halves.
So. Yeah, yeah. It's a little different. Yeah, it's a different world over there.
Yeah,
exactly. No, but so they came over. Abby Trapp's the coach there. She's been there for a while. She's great. She does a good job with the program over there. We ended up picking up a 4-3 win. 4-3 has kind of been our motto this year.
Oh, how many 4-3s have you?
You know, I haven't even counted. It's most of them actually are 4-3 one way or the other. It speaks to we're a solid team, and we're kind of in the mix with a lot of other teams. Not very many standout teams one way or the other this season.
Right.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So going down our lineup with scorers, Alexis Olsen and Maya Virgie played our 1 and 2 singles. And both of those folks lost their matches. Reese Kuzman, Greta Hacker played 3 and 4 singles, and both of those gals picked up wins at 3 and 4 singles. And doubles is kind of what it came down to for us again. Doubles has been where everything's decided. Cameron Olsen and Molly Halverson played 1 doubles, picked up a win for us, 6-2, 7-5. Aiden Bond and Bree Borsted played 2 doubles, picked up a 3-set win for us. So they did a nice job there. And Kenna McTighe, Riley Clark also played a 3-setter but ended up posting a loss there. Very close. But, you know, I think we're starting to do some of those things that we need to by the end of the season where we're just tougher mentally in those close matches. So keeps us in them rather than beating ourselves up or getting down on us, getting down on yourself, staying focused on what's in front of you, playing each point. I showed the girls a video from Roger Federer, right, one of the greatest tennis players of all time, and he was in the speech, he was a commencement speech over at Dartmouth, and he was talking about, you know, when you look at all of his matches that he won, and he has like this 85% winning, right, in tournaments or something, but he only won 54% of the points in all of those matches.
Wow.
So it doesn't take much. So even the greats, right, you're going to lose almost half of your points. So you've got to figure out a way to focus on the next one. You try as hard as you can in that moment, and then you can beat yourself up for a few seconds. You can focus on it. Reflect on it, but then you got to move on.
Move
so,
on.
Yeah, and the gals are doing a much better job now versus the beginning of the year, where a lot of those close matches we were losing them. Now we're in them with most other teams.
Good.
So, yeah, they did a really good job. So we picked up a 4-3 win there. We traveled to Minnewaska on Tuesday. Minnewaska is tough, always have been tough. And this year, they're currently ranked 2nd in state behind one of the private schools in the city. So, I didn't really share that with the team before we got there. But
they still have Thorfinnsons?
No more Thorfinnsons. All the Thorfinnsons are gone.
No way.
Yes, there is one Rant left. The Rant family had about 4 or 5 gals, 2 with a couple cousins and things. So there's just one Rant playing 1 singles, and it's her senior year, so they are also done. But, you know, Minnewaska keeps coming up with these families that have 3 or 4 gals. So there's more families.
Okay.
I was talking to Tara, the coach up there, and asking, like, where do you find these people? Like, where do they come from? And she said, "What, you know, you get these families that just their parents play tennis, and it becomes a family thing.
Yeah, and they play as a family.
Yes, exactly.
So that's no more Thorfinnsons. Obviously.
No more Thorfinnsons. I can't believe it. That era is over.
That's like decades of them.
Yes, it was. I've been coaching for quite a while, and there's been one every year except this year.
And they're good.
Oh, yeah, they're very good. They're excellent. They're excellent. Half of those gals went on to play college tennis as well. Yeah, there was four girls in that family. Half of them went on to play college. So, yeah, they're very solid players, very good. But we knew we had a lot on our plate coming into Waska. You know, and when you know you've got a team like that, you want to focus on, again, not what the score is on the table, because like I was telling my team, like, you can play really well and still lose 6-0, 6-0, or you can play poorly and you can win 6-0, 6-0. So the score doesn't reflect the quality of your play and what you're doing on the court. So, you know, let's not focus on that. We did get beat by Waska 7-0.
Okay.
Our closest match came with Greta Hacker in four singles. She had a 7-5 set, and that was as close as we got. Okay. There was one more 6-3, and after that was all 6-0 to 6-2 as far as the set scores.
Was that a conference match?
Yes, so that's a conference match. That's a good question, Paul. They used to be in our section, but they got moved up north. Oh. So they're in a section with Osakis and Foley right now, and all of those teams are state-quality teams, but only one comes out of that section. Currently, Waska looks like it's going to be the team that comes out. They've played both those other teams and beat them this season already. So, yeah. So just because they're in a conference, I'm kind of pulling for them. I'd like to see them come out of that section up north.
Yeah.
So we ended up, we had the same lineup. Alexis Olsen, one singles. Maya Virgi, two singles. Reese Kuzman, three singles. Greta Hacker, four singles. We lost at all of those positions. Molly Halverson, Cameron Olsen at one doubles. Bree Borstad and Aiden Bonnet, two doubles. And Riley Clark and Kenna McTyatt, three doubles. We lost at those positions as well. We've been playing 14 gals at most of our matches now, so we kind of have this fourth and fifth doubles team. They're exhibition, but those gals have also been at practices working hard. That's Macy Moen, Vanessa Piotr, Makaya Kobal, and Mari Falnes. You know, Mari is an eighth grader. Makaya is a ninth grader. So, you know, got some young gals getting some good experience out there. And they're working hard and showing a lot of improvement this season.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Was that your last match?
That was the last match. We had Sauk Center scheduled on Thursday. They drove all the way down. We did our lineups. And as the gals were going out to the court to play points, it started raining.
No.
Yes. And we waited around for an hour because it's about almost a two-hour drive for them. They certainly didn't want to have to come back, but that's the way we're hoping to schedule it this coming Thursday.
Okay. And that was senior night, too? Or
it was senior night, so we were able to recognize our seniors. Right. So we have five seniors this year. Molly Halverson, Maya Virgi from Dawson, Alexis Olsen Dawson, Macy Moen from Dawson, and we have Raya Borstad, who's a senior but came out for her first time, and she's just absorbing a lot. She's a great athlete, great attitude, works hard. You know, wish we could have had her more, but really happy she's there with us this year.
So you got to recognize the seniors, though.
Yeah, we got to, yeah.
Good.
Give them a little gift, say a little thing about them, exactly.
Yep. And how's the new tennis courts working out?
Oh, my God. Courts on one side and three on the other. Got a nice spot in between, so you can actually kind of turn around and almost kind of eyeball what's going on most of the courts. So as a coach, I love it. And parents seem to really appreciate it.
Okay, what do you got coming up this week then?
So this week we got a busy week. We host Benson on Monday. We travel over to YME on Tuesday. Oh, wow. And then hopefully we're going to be playing Sauk on Thursday, but it kind of depends on their schedule. They have a match on Thursday that they have to cancel or try to move if they can. So we'll see. It's been a little juggling act here.
Homecoming week, too.
And homecoming week. We're busy. Tennis is going to be out there selling caramel apples on Friday night.
Well, that's
so
right, for the taste of lock.
Taste of lock, yeah. We'll be out there trying to, you know, to raise some money and sell some caramel apples.
All right. I'll have one when I get out there.
There you go. Sounds great. There's always lots of good
stuff out
there.
It's a great event.
Yes, it really is. That was a good idea.
Right before the football game.
So. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else? So we touch on everything.
Well, just say real quick on our JV. JV also has matches coming up, so when we play home, they'll be over in Benson on Monday. They're going to host YME on Tuesday. And then Thursday, that sounds like the JV will be traveling over to McRae, and you know, while we're hopefully hosting Sauk Center at that point. Okay. So that's Austin, Ireland. Maddie Matthews has also been helping us all season. They've been doing an awesome job.
Yep. Okay. All right. Real good. Thanks for coming in the studio.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yep. And good luck this week.
Thanks, Paul.
That's Coach Dr. Brant Hacker of the girls' tennis team. We'll take a break. We'll hear from Amber Lee on the volleyball team right after this.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, September 19th through Monday, September 22nd, once nightly at 7 o'clock in Theater No. 1, Downton Abbey, held over, rated PG-13. That's Downton Abbey in Theater 1. in Theater 2, opening nationwide, A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, rated R. That's A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey in Theater Number 2. Again, shows at 7 o'clock Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand in Madison, Minnesota.
Farmers Union Oil Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls, providing Senex Premium Diesel Fuels. Propane, oil, grease, and now DEF delivery. For any of your farm, business, or personal needs, please call 320-269-8861. That's 269-8861. Thank you, and we appreciate your business. That's Farmers Union Oil Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls.
The award-winning Meander Art Crawl is a free self-guided tour of artist studios featuring over 40 local artists from the Upper Minnesota River Valley, from Granite Falls to Clinton. It's happening Friday, October 3rd, noon to 6, Saturday, October 4th, 9 to 6, and Sunday, October 5th, 9 to 4. You can visit artists in their own environment who celebrate a lifestyle that represents the small, handmade, personal, and local culture of the area. Complete information is available online at artsmeander.com. Brochures are also available in your local Chamber of Commerce offices and at many area businesses.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention to La Caprile Valley Volleyball with head coach Amber Lee. And Amber, you had a busy week this week, the volleyball team did.
Yeah, we sure did. We started up on Saturday in a Benson tournament, and then we played RCW on Tuesday, and we finished up last night with Mineota on Thursday.
Yeah, quite a few teams last Saturday in Benson, wasn't there?
Yeah, we played four matches there, so it was good.
Good. All right, tell us all about it, Amber.
Our first match, we played Dawson Boyd, and we won. We beat them in two, and then we played Ortonville, and we beat them in two, and then we played Ashby, and we got that one in two, and then we ended with Benson again, and we went three with them, but ended up losing it in the third, so.
Okay. Do you have the stats there in front of you, total stats, or do you want to go individually?
Yeah, I just got game stats, if that works.
Yep, that's fine.
All right, for Dawson, he serves. Maya Mortensen had four. Ashton Shelstead had two. Marley Ludvigson had two. Callie Kahn had one, and Maya Swatsky had one. Kilt, Abby Amlin had six. Faith Meyer had one. Carson Whitnable had four. Callie Kahn had 10. Maya Swatsky had one. Blocks, Callie Kahn had one. Assists, Ashton Shelstead had two. Marley Ludvigson had three, and Maya Swatsky had 16. For digs on the Dawson game, Maya Mortensen had four, Maya Swatsky had four, Ashton Shelstead had four, Payne Sachs had four, and Marley Ludvigson had three. So that kind of rounded out our Dawson game. We went to a different rotation last weekend, which I think really helped. It got kind of split up our strong hitters, and I think it worked really well. So.
Okay, good. Other stats in the other games you got there?
Yep, Ortonville. Well, ace serves was Maya Mortensen, 2. Ashton Shelstead, 1. Maya Swatsky, 2. Kills, Abby Amlin had 7. Faith Meyer, 1. Carson Whitnable, 4. Marley Ludvigson, 1. And Callie Kahn, 7. Callie had her only block again. Assist was Faith Meyer had 1. Marley Ludvigson had 2. And Maya Swatsky had 15. Diggs, Maya Mortensen had 8. Ashton Shelstead had 6. Marley Ludvigson had 5. And Peyton Sachs had 6. Then that brought us to our third match against Ashby. And ace serves in there was Maya Mortensen, 1. Peyton Sachs, 3. Ashton Shelstead, 1. Callie Kahn, 1. Kills, Callie Kahn had 8. Carson Whitnable, 6. Abby Amlin, 2. Faith Meyer, 2. Casey Tweet, 1. Ashton Shelstead, 1. And Marley Ludvigson, 1. Blocks, Callie had a big game at the net there. She had 3. Assist, Maya Swatsky had 10, Marley Ludvigson had 5, Eva Traeger had 1, Ashton Shelstead had 1, and Carson Whitnable had 1. For digs, we had Maya Swatsky had 12, Ashton had 7, Marley had 3, Maya Mortensen had 2, Jake Ann Raymond had 1, and Peyton Sachs had 1. That was a really good game for us. We were able to go out and get to a good lead right away, so we were able to get a lot of the other players in. Everybody on our squad was able to get in on the Ashby game, so that was really fun to see.
Good.
And then we finished up the Benson tournament, playing Benson again, and that one, like I said before, we lost in three. But Acers, Maya Swatsky had two. Maya Mortensen had one. Callie Kahn had one. Kills, Abby Amland had eight. Callie Kahn had six. Carson Whitnable had five. Faith Meyer had two. Maya Mortensen had one. And Maya Swatsky had one. Blocks, Callie Kahn had one. Assists, Maya Swatsky 12. Marley Ludvigsen 9. Ashton Shelstead 2. Digs, Ashton Shelstead 16. Maya Mortensen 12. Peyton Sachs 8. Maya Swatsky 8. Abby Hamlin 6. Carson Whitnable 6. And Marley Ludvigsen 5. And that kind of rounded out our stats for the tournament.
Okay, so good outing there last Saturday in Benson then.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then you continued play, what, on Tuesday?
Yep, we traveled down to RCW on Tuesday to take on the Jaguars.
Okay, and how'd you do?
We lost in three. They had a lot of really quick sets, and our blocks were just a little bit late on there. We played well, though. I feel like each game we're still growing and learning, so
good.
We're getting there.
Good, good, okay. Scores okay. And the stats, then?
Yep, we lost 25-17, 25-14, and 25-10. Ace serves, Maya Swatsky had our only one. Kills, Maya Swatsky had two. Marley Ludvigsen had one. Abby Amland had five. Carson Whitnable had three. And Callie Kahn had six. Assists, Maya Swatsky had eight. Marley Ludvigsen had three. Blocks, Abby Amland had one. Sophia Leah had one. And Callie Kahn had one. Diggs, Peyton Sachs had nine. Maya Swatsky had five. Ashton Shelstead had 11. Marley Ludvigsen had five. Carson Whitnable had four. Callie Kahn had five. And Maya Mortensen had six.
Okay.
That kind of rounded out our stats for RCW.
Okay. And then on Thursday, you had a home match.
Yeah, we did. Against the infamous Minneota.
I think they're ranked number one in Class A, aren't they?
They sure are, and yep. It's evident on the court. They are very good.
Yep, that's right. I think they're down in the showcase this weekend in Burnsville, too, I think.
Okay.
So that's a big tournament down there. So, all right, yep. Well, tell us how it went.
Well, we lost in three. Our first match, though, we came out with a lot of fire and a lot of enthusiasm, and we played really, really well.
Oh, great.
We actually had the lead a couple times in the beginning. We got to 14-15, and then we kind of just downslid from there. So we ended up losing 14-25 in the first one. The second one was 6-25, and the third one was 8-25.
Okay. So you're very competitive in that first set anyway, right?
Yeah, it was fun. The girls were really giving it their all, and we were right there. So.
Good. Okay, stats on the night?
Ace serves for Maya Swatsky had two. Kills, Abby Hamland had four. Carson Whitnable had two. Callie Kahn had three. And Faith Meyer had one. Assists, Maya Swatsky had four. Marley Ludvigsen had four. And Sophie Leah had one. Diggs, Peyton Sachs had 13. Maya Swatsky had seven. Ashton Shelstead had 11. And Maya Morrison had five. And Maya Swatsky had two blocks. And that rounds out our stats for Minneota.
Okay. Amber, you said earlier that you're seeing improvements. And so what are you seeing in the improvements?
We're getting a lot more touches on our blocks in the front row. Our digging in the back row has came leaps and bounds. I feel like our hitters in the front are really starting to make a lot of wise choices with the ball. So
okay, good. Yeah. Good. So I think you got a busy week coming up, don't you? It's homecoming week, isn't it?
It sure is. So, yeah, Monday we travel to Montevideo. And then Tuesday we go to Lakeview. And Thursday is our homecoming game at home versus Canby. And then they're also doing a Powder Puff boys volleyball game after our regular game. So that's always entertaining.
Oh, on Thursday against Canby, you're going to do a boys Powder Puff match?
Well, the junior boys play the senior boys.
Oh, after your varsity game with Canby.
Yeah, after our varsity game with Canby, yep.
Oh, okay, that'll be fun. I'll be out there broadcasting that. I might have to put that on the air, too, then.
Yeah, it could be quite entertaining.
Yeah, it should be. All right, Amber, well, I think we should make this a regular because I know your daughter Jalen plays college volleyball. You're on the road a lot watching her, and so I think we should have a Jalen Lee weekly update, too. So where's she at this weekend?
Well, We are going to Ankeny, Iowa, to Faith Baptist College down there, and she plays two games today. So she'll play today at 2 against Faith Baptist and at 6 against North Central. And then tomorrow she plays at...
Or Saturday, Saturday she plays where?
At 9 a.m.
Okay.
She plays at the same place at Faith Baptist, but I don't know. They do like these little tournament kind of style play.
Okay.
So she'll play at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Saturday, yep.
Saturday, yep.
Yep, okay. All right. Well, that's great. Is she enjoying her time at Crown?
She is. She is really enjoying it there, and she just loves to play volleyball, so it's fun to watch her compete again.
Good. I'm going to make this a regular segment, Amber. We're going to have a Jalen Lee update, so how about that?
Sounds good. I'll be more prepared next time.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Amber, and you have a great week, and we'll best of luck this week against what, Montevideo Monday?
Yep.
And Lakeview Tuesday and Canby Thursday.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Amber.
Thanks, Paul.
Yep. Amber Lee, head coach of the La Caprile Valley Volleyball Team. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with more of the Coach's Show after this. Come on over to Appleton Saturday, September 20th, for the 43rd Apple Fest celebration. Bring your family and join us for a day full of laughter, excitement, and unforgettable memories. Most activities will take place in Riverview Park and the surrounding area. There's activities for all ages. At noon on Saturday the 20th will be the Apple Fest Parade down Main Street. For a complete list of activities, you can go to appletonpress.com and click on Apple Fest. Apple Fest 2025 is sponsored by Appleton Community Initiative. Paul Ramo back here in the studio, and that wraps up our Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Thanks for listening, everybody.